million human lives ended on August 29, 1997. The survivors of the nuclear fire called the war Judgment Day. They lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. The computer which controlled the machines, Skynet, sent two Terminators back through time. Their mission? To destroy the leader of the human resistance, John Carter, my son. The first Terminator was programmed to strike at me in the year 1984, before John was born, but it failed. We're discussing Pet Sematary 2, starring Edward Furlong. This week on Horror Movie Night. Yeah,
that's the intro.
By the way, so you said John Carter. It's John Connor, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
just confirming.
Let's over with that movie about the guy that went to that planet. I think it was called Total
Yeah. God damn, if they could do a Terminator Total Recall, that would be really, really cool. All
right, so this one was picked by Adam in the sense that it was on a list of movies, and Scott and I randomly said, that one. So, Adam, why was this one on your list?
I don't know. I've never seen this movie before, of course. I have seen bits and pieces of it, because as I was watching it, it struck me familiar. But I certainly never sat down and watched this whole movie before. I don't know. I was just trying to pad out the list. You guys, so why did you guys pick this movie, huh? Well, the this falls on you.
I had actually never seen Pet Sematary 2. And in that giant binder of DVDs that someone gave me, Pet Sematary 2 was in there. And I thought, well, that one will be easy for me to watch.
Yeah, I had never seen it either, and I think there's a reason why. I can't quite put my potato on it, though.
So I'm going to make a quick confession. I didn't hate this movie. It's not good. It's definitely not good, but like in the grand scheme of sequels to movies that didn't need sequels, there's far worse than Pet Sematary 2.
Yeah, I feel like if you just kind of... I feel like what they should have done was have it be a lot longer time between Pet Sematary and Pet Sematary 2 in the reality of the film, you know, like in that town. Is it, what town is it? Is it Derry? I don't think it's Derry.
I don't think it's Derry. I can't remember what the town is though. It's like Huntsville or something stupid like that.
Yeah, more like Cuntsville, because these kids are assholes. have you ever seen a movie with shittier kids in it? I don't know if I have.
Oh, yeah, no. These bullies are like hyperactive versions of the ones from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, oh, my God. That's I must say, I'm totally a sucker for, like, early 90s junior high scenes. They're always so just charming. It's all the goddamn flannel and backwards hats and the pump-it-up shoes.
Well, before we even get to this town, we start off with Ed Furlong watching his mom get electrocuted to death on a movie set.
Oh, you mean the part where she gets Final Destination'd?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Man, because this was Final Destination about a decade before Final Destination.
To their uncomfortably close relationship?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But it starts with one of my favorite horror movie tropes, which is that you find out 5 minutes into the movie that you're watching a movie and not the actual movie.
Is that, like, you actually like that trope, or are you just being cheeky? Because that trope kind of sucks.
I'm being 50-50 on that one. Sometimes it makes me laugh. Other times I'm like, oh, fucking, this is worse than if it was all a dream.
Oh, man. I hate the it's all a movie, but that's not nearly as bad as it was all a dream. And I love Slumber Party Massacre, too. So saying something.
Crypt Keeper Demon Knight. Did you like it or did you hate it when it was all a movie?
I mean, I did get an erection, but that could have just been because of the Crypt Keeper.
That could have been anything.
It
literally anything gets Matt aroused.
In the tub at this point.
I mean, that was what got him started. He had to have a round two, so by the end of the movie, his refractory period was over, and it was time for another it was time to raise the dead a second time, I suppose, is what we could say.
All right, so...
So, hey, can I tell you guys, fuck this movie, because dog death in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, dude, yeah, no.
Gets killed in this movie. It's fucking terrible.
But I don't care about the kittens as much as the dog.
So I have two things about that dog. Well, actually, one major thing. So we're introduced to Drew and his dad, Gus, right? So his dad, Gus, has this real classy moment where he's talking to Edward Furlong and his dad and just being straight up like, yeah, I used to fuck your mom before she got married to your dad, like in front of the dad. So that's a thing that happens. But there's a song that plays when Drew finds the dog dead that is the most like overly dramatic song that I think has ever been used in a horror movie. Like, he's holding the dog and you see the dog's like struggling to breathe, and in the background's like, I feel you fading away. Like,
all the music in this movie is like fucking awful. So bad. I have a major issue involving the dog as well, and that's that Drew named the dog Zowie. You don't deserve a dog if that's the name you're going to give it, Drew. You suck.
No, it's acceptable only if there was another dog named Wowie.
That actually makes it worse.
Wow. Just fucking wow.
I also feel like the scene where those kids are carrying that dead dog is like 5 minutes long with no dialogue.
Yeah, Drew's a fucking tank, too. That dog probably weighs 80 pounds and he's flopping it around like a tank.
Well, it was like a husky mix, so probably it was mostly fur.
But that dog did lead to some sweet naked women with dog-headed nightmares.
Yeah, this movie is really confusing sexually. It's two things I like, but not necessarily mashed together. So back to the music of this film. The it's not only bad music, it's poorly placed bad music. It's like all really inappropriate. I actually wonder if Edward Furlong was like, guys, I was in the fucking Terminator. I get to pick the music. And he like picked all this stuff that he thought was like badass in 1990 or whenever this movie came out. And just shoehorned it into the movie. He's like, I don't care where it goes. Just make sure it's in there.
He was like, guys, I became friends with Corey Feldman. And you might not know this, but he has a music career now. So. There's this scene. So let's go through a quick synopsis of what's happening in this movie. So basically, Edward Furlong watches his mom die on a movie set, and it forces him to move to her hometown, which is the site of the original Pet Cemetery. And he works there, or he assists his dad, who's a vet, and goes to school when he's bullied. He befriends this kid, Drew, whose dad is like the local cop named Gus. Gus shoots and kills Drew's dog. They bury it in the Pet Cemetery. Dog obviously comes back super evil. Then they accidentally kill his dad, and to cover their tracks, also bury him in the Pet Cemetery, which makes him come back as like a weird rapey zombie.
Yeah, I forgot about that part.
There's fucking zombie rape in this movie, guys.
Yeah.
And it's our fault. Like, it's not even Adam's fault this time. But yeah, to our credit, I don't think any of us had ever seen this movie before, which is really rare. I don't think that this might be a horror movie night first, that none of us ever watched the movie before picking it, and now we're stuck with our shitty decisions.
It makes me wish that there was like a search engine that we could build where you just pop a movie title in there and it'll let you know like, yeah, there's a rape scene in this. And we could use that to like weed out the movies that we discuss on the show.
If the URL can be searchforrape.com.
All right. Hey, guys. All right. It's free. We got to take it. The URL is safe. Wait. So can we talk for just a second about how terrible all the male role models in this film are? Like, we got Edward Furlong's dad, who's a vet, who coincidentally opens up a veterinary office in the same building that the guy from the first one supposedly had, and it's just like, oh, so much coincidence that he like takes this blood and he draws the blood from Zowie after the dog comes back, and the guy's like, why are you pulling my leg, sending me dog blood? The last guy sent me dead dog blood. And he's like, it's alive, man. He's like, no, it's dead. But his dad sucks. And then Sergeant Zim, a.k.a. Gus, he's much better in Starship Troopers as a take-no-shit drill sergeant, who does the most homosexual thing in that movie, which is give Casper Van Dien's chiseled jaw a reason to clench. No, I'm not talking about anything in the communal showers. I'm talking about the time that he whips the shit out of his back. So, anyway, Sergeant Zim is so creepy. He's always playing grab ass with his wife, who's the fat kid's mom. But he treats the fat kid... What's the fat kid's name?
Drew.
Drew.
Drew. Okay, so Drew, who is a very, very disappointing Kmart version of Horace in this film. He's like always playing grab ass with the mom, and then he's like talking shit about the kid to his face, and he's just there are no redeeming adults in this film. Like Marjorie, who is Edward Furlong's like housekeeper, she is immediately like trying to go down on Edward Furlong's dad. Like, she's basically eye-fucking him as soon as she comes in the door, and she's like, oh, and she, like, puts her hair behind her ear, and is like, oh, and she's like, just wants to blow him. It's so fucking weird. But, like, everybody sucks. The mom, Drew's mom, is not even, like, that much of a redeeming adult in this film, because she kind of just is a victim. She doesn't do anything after her husband rapes her.
She's barely even a fucking character. She's hardly even present in any of her scenes.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, this movie has the shittiest plot. It's like so low effort. And it could be, the thing is that it's not a bad movie to watch. Like, it's not a bad movie to look at. It's a pretty good looking movie. The kills are gory as shit. Like, seriously, when Gus is going on his killing spree, he like kills all the rabbits. And by the way, are those real rabbit corpses? Because if they're not, that guy needs a serious raise.
So those are definitely real rabbits.
Yeah, yeah, I thought so too. Which really, I mean, even if it wasn't for my lifestyle, I would be incredibly perturbed with the fact that I watched somebody skin six rabbits in the movie for horror movie night. So this movie is really, really uncomfortable.
It was an upbeat little montage with the shitty punk music that Edward Furlong was trying to pimp playing in the background.
Yeah. I feel like I want to go back to a review that I gave for Bordello of Blood, but this is like the perfect, just like lazy, like, oh man, it's a rainy day, I'm stuck inside, I just want something that I can shut my brain off for an hour and a half. Like, Pet Sematary 2 is not the worst choice that you could have. There's tons of other better movies, but if it's on TV, why not?
I don't know, Matt. I mean, there's dog death, kitty death, degloving rabbits, zombie rape. I mean,
yeah, but on the plus side, there's that weird scene where they're all just sitting at the dinner table laughing for 2 minutes.
Yeah, this movie is so surreal, but not in like a good way. It's just kind of like shit happens for no apparent reason, and it's strung along so arbitrarily. I don't know who wrote it. I don't want to know who wrote it. I hope that they never made a movie again after this, because there's so much. There are just so many bad decisions that the editors made.
I was going to say, the biggest issue, I think, falls on the editors, who just, like, let scenes play out way longer. Like, this... I feel like when you're making a movie, there's this point where you're like, okay, so guys, just keep the scene going. Like, okay, guys, I need you to laugh. Can you just laugh for, like, I don't know, like, 2 minutes, and we'll just get, like, the best part of that laugh and throw it on into the final project. And then, like, the editors were like, I think he wants us to keep the whole 2 minute take, so let's just leave that in there.
There's like a weird middle part of this movie where the two kids get like a wacky zombie dad for a bit, and they're trying to like hide his wounds and stuff. Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
But yeah, that, you know this, what? That... All this needed was wacky sax playing in the background of half the scenes.
Yakety sax. You know, I am most upset in this film about the fact that they spent more time laughing at the dinner table than they do showing them try to like fix the zombie dad. It's just the pacing is garbage. You know, I've not even like dived into my notes because it's so weird. And like let's talk about the really, really shitty, the kid that grabs the kitty and like runs away with it. He's got the spiky blonde hair, and then he tries to use his dirt bike to kill Edward Furlong, and then Gus comes along and decides to let Edward Furlong live for no apparent reason, but then decides to kill the kid. And does that kid come back from the pet cemetery too?
Yeah, with the mom when the house is on fire and stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this movie just throws so much shit at the wall. But that kid is awful. Like, maybe he is a good actor because I hated him. I legitimately hate that kid's face.
Yeah, that kid went from like 0 to 100 on the awful human being scale. Because like, as much as I don't like the kidnapping of a kitten type thing, I feel like that's a thing that I've seen a bully do in real life. Like, that's like, okay, it's shitty, but I've seen it happen. Trying to shove a kid's head through a wheel spike so he could chop off his nose is like a whole nother world that didn't exist in my brain prior to this movie.
Gus accidentally killed him because it was fucking happy birthday to me. He got his scarf caught in the fucking wheel of the thing.
Oh, that's right.
The most shocking deaths you'll ever see.
Was it just eight? It felt like forever. So we can just make a list of all the times that the shit in this movie was done better previously. We have that death being done better in Happy Birthday to Me. Also, there's one thing this movie does that I don't think any other movie can say it did. Death by Potato, which is fucking absurd.
Well, to be fair, Sleepwalkers has Death by Corn on the Cob.
We did just see...
At least that thing, like, makes sense.
Death by Submarine Sandwich not that long ago.
Man, I'd watch Death by Submarine Sandwich 10 times before I watch Death by Potato again. It's like so... But the weird thing about that is this movie is just so uneven. Because there are these weird, absurd moments, but then you're like crashed back into the reality of the fact that Gus just ran his wife and son off the road and smashed them into fucking potato trucks. Yeah. And then the camera just it pans down the pile of potatoes to a bloody fucking foot.
Yeah, and just it's lingers just there for a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that they edited this movie at all. I think that you're talking about how they're like, yeah, just make sure that you get X amount of film and X amount of time so we can pad this shit out Chucky Band style. And then they made an hour and 40-minute movie because they never actually edited things or cut anything at all.
There's one other thing that I want to talk about, though, that I have in the notes. And we touched on her briefly, but the housekeeper who, for no explainable reason, just decides to wear a dress that she found in the attic as if she owns the fucking place.
I mean...
Yeah. She's awful. By the way, can we just talk for a minute about the fact that that girl was in PCU?
Yes, she was.
So commence PCU quotes now.
No. Telling you no. Put my fucking foot down. Now, I do have an
Hey, ponytail! You suck!
Go to sleep! Go to sleep!
When she first meets him, she was a fan of the mom. So she comes in, she goes, I was such a fan of your wife. Want me to dress up like her and we can fuck? Like, so, like, right away she's...
Yeah, that literally is the thought process. You're not embellishing.
So when she finds the dress, she obviously recognizes the dress from, like, a movie that the mom was in. And she's got this weird, like, I'm going to replace you single white female thing going on. So.
Fair enough.
Did this come out before or after Single White Female?
Let me confirm. It may actually be the same year. It's 92. 92 seems like the same single white female year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got some acid wash jeans and a leotard. Yeah,
same year. Both of them came out in 92.
My goodness. But you know how much we love head trauma on Horror Movie Night? That douche kid Clyde, that's his name. I realized I have my second to last note actually says his name. he gets some gnarly head trauma. It's pretty good.
Yeah. The last thing that I had written down about this entire movie is that Edward Furlong looks really fucking creepy in that shot where he's just sitting in a rocking chair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Creepy throughout.
My last note about this film is the fact that both Pet Sematary and Pet Sematary 2 end with Ramones songs, and I think that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. This is the same director as Pet Sematary.
Well, that doesn't explain really much at all.
He did such a good fucking job with the first Pet Sematary. What the hell was
she? She.
Oh, this is a she? And she was okay with the zombie rape? Wow.
Oh, yeah. I feel like she did something else noteworthy. Not much. Yeah, but let me see. I'm going to take
first
a quick
on-screen
old
zombie
peek.
Rape. That's pretty noteworthy. Oh, if you look in the Wikipedia...
Are you sure it's the first one?
It will actually show you this was the first instance of all three hosts never seeing the movie on Horror Movie Night. So that's probably the other thing that's important that you're thinking of.
You need to screenshot that shit before an actual mod from Wikipedia changes it.
Okay, so I guess what I was thinking of was that she directed a lot, and I mean a lot, of Madonna music videos. And she
did... I don't know how to feel about
that. She did Halloween Town Part 2 for Nickelodeon or Disney or whoever did the Halloween Town movies.
Oh, no. No, I don't know how she could do like Halloween Town after doing this.
Yeah, she didn't do a ton of movies, a lot of TV, it looks like, and a lot of music videos. Any of you guys have any additional notes?
No, not really. Pretty lackluster movie, all told. We've watched a lot more fun stuff than this. It was just kind of meh, whatever. I just kept thinking to myself, I kept making like Terminator 2 jokes in my head and American History X jokes and shit the whole time I was watching it. I can't watch an Edward Furlong movie. Like, he's just tainted.
Psst. Hey, you. Do you like the Tales from the Crypt series? Do you like spooky things in general? Then check out the Good Evening Kitties podcast. That's Good Evening Kitties podcast. GOODEVENINGKIDDIES podcast. Each week, I'll review a new episode from the TV series The Tales from the Crypt. Find me on Podbay, Podbean, or iTunes. That's the Good Evening Kitties podcast. Check it out today.
So what did you guys watch this week?
I will go first because I didn't watch anything. I've been I read comic books. I read a bunch of the comics, The 30 Days of Night. You guys remember that movie, like the Josh Hartnett movie or whatever, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I've been reading the comic.
Yeah.
The way that they do the lettering and stuff in that comic is like when the vampires talk, the letters are all like weird and scratchy and like fucked up. It makes the it just literally makes it hard to read. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Just make it clear to me what is going on in the fucking comic. But they're okay. It's honestly, it's weird to me that somebody based a movie off that concept. I feel like we could write. I mean, let's get a movie made, guys. We can do this. If this guy could do this.
I've been seeing that for 5 years, man.
So I rewatched one horror movie that I hadn't seen in a while, and then I watched a movie for the first time that I had purchased months ago when I was in San Diego. So I rewatched Cat's Eye because I went to Best Buy and it was there for $3 on Blu-ray. So I figured no better time to add Cat's Eye to my DVD collection. pretty. I always forget that that's actually not a terrible anthology film. And I always forget that it's only PG-13. All three stories have their own like kind of dark element to them, which I like. But the best one is definitely the first story, Quitters Inc. with James Woods. But everyone always talks about the final story with Drew Barrymore being attacked at night by a troll and the cat that saves her. But yeah, it's nothing that I don't think I'd watch it again anytime soon, but I'm glad that I have it in my collection for like my niece who's starting to get into horror movies. Like, I think it's like a good, like, you know, young kid who wants to watch horror movies starter kit. The other thing that I watched, I wouldn't recommend showing to any child, and that was The Last Horror Movie, which was shot illegally at Cannes Film Festival in the 80s. And it's about a crazy film director who wants this one woman to star in his movie. So he follows her to the Cannes Film Festival and starts stalking her and filming the movie around her. So it's basically Bowfinger. But if you want to watch a movie that ends with your main character smoking pot with his 80-year-old grandmother, who's played by the actor's actual grandmother, while a really weird version of Mammy, but from the fucking jazz singer, plays over the credits, then The Last Horror Film is the movie for you.
So I am in the process of giving up finishing season one of Van Helsing on Netflix. I have been slogging through that for like 3 weeks now, and it is just nothing, man. It's everything I hated about I Am Legend, basically. So it's supposed to be a female Van Helsing. The world's overrun with vampires, but there are like three different kinds of vampires. There are like the super smart ones. They're grunts, and then there are ferals that are just kind of like wild animals, obviously. The blood of Vanessa Helsing, that's why it's called Van Helsing, just so on the fucking nose I can't even stand it. Her blood can reverse the effects of the vampire virus, but also when she bites them, which makes no sense, and I wish that they would just explain that. Maybe I missed it because I keep falling asleep watching it. The production value is pretty high, but it does all the things that I hate about post-apocalyptic movies where everybody's arguing and people are like, no, we should do this. And then somebody else is like, here, get in this cage because I don't trust you. And then somebody else is like, oh, I want to murder humans because I'm a sick fuck, even though there are only X amount of humans, blah, blah, blah. And it's just a whole lot of drudgery to get through for a couple fun fight scenes because, like, the fight choreography is sweet, but it happens basically never. So I don't know if I can make my way through the end of it. After the terribleness of sitting through the entire first season of Riverdale, I don't know. My bullshit tolerance is real low. But here's the thing that bothers me the most about this film, or about the series, is, okay, so the premise is that there are vampires. It's a disease that can be spread via blood or bites or whatever. And the super volcano underneath Yellowstone Park explodes. It goes off and it sends ash into the atmosphere, and therefore it's always kind of hazy out so the vampires can roam free. And vampires love to just like the head vampires, the ones that are smart, they're kind of like the decadent vampires in like Underworld, I guess.
Okay.
But not nearly as cheeky. But they like to kill people for sport. And I think, okay, if people are your food source, you can't just like play with your food and then not eat it. There's going to be a finite amount of people, unless somewhere along the line in this show, they're going to show that the smart vampires are like keeping humans and breeding them so that they can have more humans. But then again, there's only X amount of regular food for humans, because it's not like the vampires give a fuck. They're not like growing corn or beans, you know. It's not like they can go and eat like They can't go suck the blood from cows. Humans can't go eat cows because all the cows have died. It's been like 3.5 years since the vampire outbreak. So it really breaks my suspension of disbelief that anybody would even be alive at this point, because there's a finite amount of resources, and that's the kind of thing that my brain goes to when I watch post-apocalyptic TV shows or movies, and therefore the reason why I avoid them most of the time. So, if anybody gives a shit, don't watch Vanessa Helsing. It's a shitty pun and not a good TV show. But the one redeeming value is that the main guy looks just like a jacked Stephen Bay.
Matt, look in the chat. Do me a favor. Say that word out loud. Finite. Why do you keep saying? Are you trying?
Are you trying to tell me that I said finite wrong? Because hey, how do you say? You can say infinite, right? Infinite. So finite and finite are both acceptable pronunciations of the word finite. Fuck you both. This has been Horror Movie Night.
So that was Pet Sematary 2 from 1992, picked by Adam, but kind of, sort of, really picked by Scott and I. If you think that you can do better, send us some suggestions at hmnpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at hmnpodcast.com. Also, you should rate and review us on iTunes and all that good jazz, and maybe give us some money at patreon.com. Come on, give us some money. Why not? You won't. Come on, give us money, dick.
Please, we only have a finite amount of money in with which to make merch.
And we're getting close to the end of the year. And if you're checking the Facebook page, you see that we have the poll posted for what movies are we going to discuss early 2018. You can pick one of those movies picked by the three of us. What are those movies? I don't know, because we're recording this super in advance. But that poll's on that page, goddammit. So you should go and vote for it.
Edit that part out, you dumb shit.